listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa Mackelman.
Welcome to episode 8. Thanks for joining me today and the Salon Owners Collective. I'm really pleased to introduce you to an amazing woman called Christy Lawrence, who is an artist at heart, but has actually created an app, a visual planning and scheduling tool for Instagram. And it's perfect for the hair and beauty industry to create a strategy and a planning and scheduling strategy for your Instagram account. So she shares some great tips with us today on how to grow your following, but also shares her journey as a business owner. So let's jump in and hear what she has to say. I'm really excited to bring Christy Lawrence to you in today's episode, who has built a visual planning and scheduling app for Instagram called Plan. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Now, I'm really excited about hearing your journey and your story today because I absolutely love your app.
Oh, amazing.
Not only that, it just looks beautiful. I fell in love with your visuals, so I think you've done a great job. So why don't we start by telling us a little bit about what is Plan?
Hello. Okay. Good morning. I'm so excited to speak to you this morning as well. Like, we've been chatting online forever, so I'm really pleased we actually get to speak today. So Plan was designed for somebody who is really busy, who runs their own business, or, you know, they're trying to make their own dreams happen. And Instagram is this amazing platform where people can do that. But a lot of people didn't understand that Instagram is such a visual platform. You need to have a really visual strategy. But there was nothing out there. There was no visual tool for a visual strategy. So I have a marketing and advertising background, and I was watching all of these things happen, and I was like, oh, I can help these people. So that's kind of where I started. So I wanted to design something that gave control back to the owner.
Yeah, nice. Now, you actually have a downloadable that helps people with their actual strategy as well as providing the actual app to execute. Tell me a little bit about the strategy and how to implement that.
So when you're trying to play a content, so obviously there's a lot of content out there in the world, but having strategy behind it allows you to engage better, allows you to tell your story better, and instead of just posting and hoping, which is the kind of post and hope strategy, it doesn't really work. And I think once you've been on the platform a little while, you start to realize that it doesn't. So adding that layer of, okay, I need to think strategically, can really help you tell a bit of story. So depending on your niche or your business, there are four main themes that, you know, accompany a post on Instagram. And I detail that. It's a free strategy guide on my website if you want to have a look at it, but it details, how to use the different themes, what they actually are, and then how to visually organize that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So I encourage you to, actually what I'll do is I'll pop that that download on the podcast. That would be really useful.
I just think that it really helps people because, the first thing is, oh my gosh, I don't really know what to, I don't know how my feed should look. But the second crucial point is I don't know what to post. Yeah. So I'm starting to bury myself into helping people with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm really intrigued about your, how does someone decide to use an app? And tell us a little bit about that journey. Where did the idea, how did the idea spark into an app versus just a strategy? And tell me about your journey to actually building an app.
Oh man, you might need a few weeks. well, where do I start? Okay, so I love to illustrate and I love to paint.
Right.
I did the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, Instagram, this is amazing. And there's so many creative people on here and, followed all my favorites and then thought, no, I want to get into this and I want to encourage myself to be creative again. So it was actually during a rehab project. I had a brain trauma and I was at home a lot trying to recover. And so I decided that you know, I've always had a lot of discipline and I've always been highly creative. And outside of my day job, I've always been helping people with their blog or building websites. So I actually ran a webcomic for a year, which is, don't ever Google it. but I've always had my own projects. I feel whatever you do between 6 or 7 when you get home and 1 or 2 a.m., those are the hours that kind of dictate what your life can be. So I would, in those hours, yeah, their TV might be on, but you know, I'm a fidgeter. I've got way too much energy. And in that time I'd be playing. So while I was sick, I had more of that time and for sure. I would make myself do one creative thing a day. So I'd make vases. I'd go buy pot plants and paint the bases, or I'd illustrate. And then I taught myself fashion illustration. So during my recovery, I was actually posting my work on Instagram. And a lot of my friends would say to me, why are you growing so quickly? How are you getting $500 a painting? And I was only on it a short time. Like I only did this for about, you know, 4 or 5 months before I kind of found what works. I still had my marketing brain and I still, you know, knew how it worked. And I am very visual. So it made, the whole thing made sense to me. But when people would say to me, what are you doing? Why is this, you know, how are you growing so quickly? And I teach them, and then like, well, we can't afford you one-on-one, how can you teach us? So I thought, well, this is basically what I'm doing. I'm just organizing my feed properly. And it didn't exist. I was looking for a tool, it didn't exist. I'm like, well, it's gonna be made, may as well be me. So that's what happened.
The idea was born. And did, yeah.
Did you think at that time that you would actually be creating a digital app?
No. No, it actually stemmed because, you know, if I wanted to leave my job and do it, small business owners couldn't afford me. I couldn't replace my salary.
Yeah.
So I was like, how am I going to bring this to the masses? And I am a nerd, like hand up, I am a nerd. And yeah, I thought, okay, so, you know, there's 2 million apps in the world. I'm sure it's not that hard. Rookie era. That was my rookie era number one. And I think going in like totally naive and having no idea was probably a blessing, because had I known now,
yeah,
we never have done it.
It seems to be a reoccurring theme, actually, this kind of like, you know, while you're still a little bit ignorant and don't really know what you're getting into, that's the best time to jump.
I think so.
Yeah.
And so I sat on it for a long time. So I went and got a few quotes, you know, as you do, you go and get your quotes and you ask for referrals, and didn't know anything. I thought an app costs like $6,000. Yeah. Which is, you know, who knows? You don't know. You don't live in app world, so no one really knows. So I did have experience working in digital marketing. So I've been around digital stuff forever. And like I said, I'm a nerd. So I knew how to wireframe and I knew, you know, the screens that were needed. So I sat around and kind of drew up what I'd like it to look like, and spent so long on the design. Like, yeah. This version is about the 20th iteration of what it could have been. So every time I'd design something, I'd be like, okay, what can I take out? And I just kept taking things out until I had the most beautifully simple, stupidly easy tool, really.
Yeah, that's a really important, I want to hone in on that simplicity and taking things away, and sometimes the best strategy is less.
Definitely.
And I think that's applicable to the hair and beauty, any industry, actually, any business. Sometimes simple is best, because especially if we're creators, I think we can overcomplicate. Would that be a fair comment?
Oh, definitely. I always start with way too much. So it actually, there's this lady, Lynn, and I, she is a stylist, and we ran an Instagram and styling workshop. And it kind of, she gave me that strategy, because I wasn't that great at styling. So I went to her for advice, and she was one telling me that when you're styling photos, you know, start with everything and then just start pulling things away. And that strategy can be everywhere. Mm. I don't know if it's best to be undoing here, doing everything, but that's something that sits in my mind when I'm designing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice. That's good advice. And so tell me, when did you launch Plan?
The first time I launched Plan was on Android, because I was actually using Android at the time. And it was, must have been August, July. Oh my gosh. And then as every business, you get a curveball. And this curveball, I thought I'd had all my curveballs, but then you get like the one. and it just knocks you for 6 and you think you've had the curveball, but no, you haven't. So I found that after I launched, the dev team that I had didn't have any resource to look after me after launch, which I wasn't told about until I had launched. So a week after launch, I got my first 1,000 users. And of course, they're reporting bugs, as anyone in software will tell you. Like, there's always someone with a problem. Like, no piece of software will ever go out and make everyone happy. So obviously the bugs are coming in and I'm going, okay, I'll get my dev team to look at it. And my dev team saying, we've got no one to look after you for the next 2 months. And I'm going, holy, this has taken me so long. I've quit my job. I've like thrown everything in. I've borrowed on my mortgage. This can't be happening. So at that point, being live and things going well and not having a development team was a nightmare. So when I got to my new team, you'll always find mostly with developers that they don't like to work with other people's code. So then, of course, I got my app rebuilt completely from scratch.
No.
Nobody knows, because it got completely rebuilt in the back end, and then when it got relaunched, it just looked like an update. So that launch was only about 2 months ago, and now we're just steamrolling through the updates that have been sitting on the list. So I'm happy now, but there was a few very, very tough weeks or months.
Absolutely. Look, I take my hat off to you for jumping in boots and all, jumping in before you're ready, possibly, as the quote goes. and that's the best way. The only way to solve the problems is to, once you've jumped off the cliff, is while you're flying down.
I had another explanation this week. It was while you're drowning and someone hands you a baby.
Oh, that's a heavy one.
So like, what are you going to do now?
That's right.
But you make it happen, right?
Oh, you have to. At this point, I don't have a choice.
That's right. I think all business owners can relate to this level. But there is a silver lining to all of these troubles. You've just recently won an award.
So I've just won 2, which takes my tally up to 4 this year. So I'm just so thrilled that everyone gets behind me and can see the journey that I'm on and wants to, help me and be part of it. And I think that's really special, and something the Instagram community is the thing I love about Instagram. So the last 2 awards were best bootstrap business. So it was really nice to acknowledge that I've done this all on my own. It's all my own funding. I haven't had any help from outside. And for an Apple software business, that's quite a big feat to be able to do that. It's not cheap. And I work 120 hours a week. So, and I have no social life and I miss my husband. So being acknowledged for that, and especially as an entrepreneur, when you're on your own, you don't get acknowledgement. You're always down on yourself. It's not very often that you're like, oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so you kind of, you get a, it was nice to get some recognition.
Absolutely.
And the second award was for Australasian Startup Founder of the Year, which was blew my mind.
Wow.
And I have to admit, I think the only reason that I won that was because I'm an idiot. I'm very transparent. I tell people, this is what's going on in my business and this is how hard it really is. And in another life, I probably would have liked to have been a stand-up comedian. So nothing I do is ever just, oh yeah, here's the set. I'm always trying to pull some quirk through it, which most people shy away from because they want to be, 100% professional. But I think the quirk is what kind of makes plan.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that. Now, you did mention that this is the 4th award that you've won. What are the other 2? Do tell.
So the first one I won was Startup of the Year for Australia and New Zealand, and that was from Startup Daily.
Cool.
And the second award was, this is a mouthful, this one, so ready?
We're ready.
Best social/lifestyle app of summer 2016 from Best Mobile App Awards.
Wow. Now, I just have to say that, not only are you launching a new product, you've thrown your job and you're working 120 hours,
a week and had a whole new team, but somehow you've made the time to apply for these, because that's no small feat in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you are a superstar.
Well, it's not easy. There is a method to my madness, because apps that win awards continue to win awards.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to show that I'm really serious about this, and I'm not building an app that's going away. Yeah. So although Instagram, you know, may or may not make their own scheduling tool eventually, I wanted Plan as a brand to help small business owners, and I want to grow that piece. It's not just for me. Plan is not an Instagram scheduling app. Plan is a platform where I can help people en masse.
Yeah. Okay. And more than just scheduling, it's about the visual strategy.
That too, yeah. So, you know, who knows where that's going? I may or may not be working on other projects at the same time. so, you know, that's exciting for me.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. So tell me a little bit, about your thoughts about where do you see the future of social apps or the visual.
Oh gosh. I honestly, I don't know. Technology is moving so much faster than ever before. Yeah. And there's so much like virtual reality, there's augmented reality, you've got 3D images, there's so much in live streaming at the moment. I honestly don't know. Yeah. I can make projections and I can guess, but people are starting to wear computers on their face now. So
yeah.
I'm not sure, but I still think 100% there's a stream of people like us that are visual, and we will always need inspiration. We'll always want to be inspired. So there's always a place.
Agree. Okay. Well, look, I'm really keen to hear some of your tips around nailing Instagram and some of that strategy. So maybe you've got some tangible tips to share with us.
Definitely. I think number one for me is be social on social media. It just sounds so stupid, but it's, you have to. If you're not engaging with people, if you're not chatting, and I think when I'm doing my own private consulting, the thing that I say to people is make friends online.
Yeah,
it's literally what you're trying to do. And the analogy that I use a lot is in the pub situation. If someone came up to me and said, "Hi, Christy, that's a nice shirt," and I went, "Yeah, thanks," I'm not making friends. Like that's not going to fly. But if someone came to me and said, "Hey, Christy, that's a really nice shirt," and I said, "Oh my gosh, I got it on special, 50% off, and there's another one. Do you want me to send you the link?"
Yeah,
I'm going to make friends. So, creating people that want to come back and visit you and you know, I'm losing the word, but creating a community. So there are people that I actually go regularly as part of my own strategy. I'll go through the people that follow me, even though I may not follow them back for a particular reason, and just see what they're doing, leave comments, chat. So they always want to come back and see me too.
Mm, yep.
And that's something that a lot of people, I feel like they miss from their strategy.
I agree. Because it takes that little bit of extra time to schedule that time into your week to do that.
But I mean, I do that. So I'll do a post, and then for me personally, every time I post, I set an hour. It's an hour to do both. Right. So I post, and I don't sit and wait for the likes to roll in. You're out there commenting. You're out there making new friends. Or so one day I might be 100% dedicated to cultivating my community, and one day I might be dedicated to new people that should be in my community.
Okay, that's really interesting. Yep, very good.
So the last few weeks, though, I've been running a few experiments on my own feed. So some people say to me, "Oh, I haven't posted for a week. Instagram's worthless now." So I haven't posted in about 2 weeks. Kind of on purpose, but not on purpose, so that I can write a blog post and say, "This is what happened when I came back. It's not the end of the world." So I've got this series of blog posts that are underway for experiments that I run on my own feed. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay. Well, make sure that that you let us know when that's out, and we'll be sure to share it.
Yeah. The last one I did was what happens when you switch over to a business account and then switch back.
And what was your findings?
Oh, I have to let you read that one. It's a bit controversial, that one.
Okay. That surely is motivation enough to go and read it. All right. What other tips have you got to share with us?
I think with the visual, if I focus a little bit about why plan exists and we talk about the visual side of things, if you're looking at your grid as a whole or your gallery, if you're using the same perspectives over and again, that's actually, if you analyze what makes the feed interesting or not, you'll actually find its perspective. And so it's not putting two flat lays in a row or two of the same image in a row, or the same shot in a row. So a lot of people, you know, it worked one time and then they do it straight away the next time. It's not, it's kind of not like that. So for me, my advice is to look at your perspectives and mix that up. So that's probably a really key tangible that I have in my toolkit.
Can you articulate perspective?
Oh, of course. So,
Far
away. So like a close up, a mid shot, a far away. I don't want to use jargon, but it's having different depths of field.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Yep. And different angles to make it interesting. So it's not like be all over the shot, but it's just be really, when people say, I actually can't work out what it actually is that makes a feed good. And once you go through and analyze, you'll actually find it's about the perspective.
Okay. That makes sense. Yep. Mm. Yep. Interesting.
Probably one more to share that's probably really relevant for your audience. And that is about Instagram's not a portfolio. It's a storytelling method. So I think there's a lot of people that, especially artists, that will just post their work over and over, but it's not telling the story. I want to fall in love with the process. I want to fall in love with what you do and why you do it. Like, you've got to start with why.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
I really love that. And I think we, as an industry, both hair and beauty, we share a lot of our work because we want to show, you know, that we can and the beautiful types of things that we can do. So how do we transform that from just posting a picture to actual storytelling? Give us some examples.
Well, that's a whole strategy in itself because it depends on the outcome. So if you have a purpose of why you're on Instagram. So some people want to be on Instagram to be famous. Some people are on Instagram because they want press. Some people want customers. It depends on what that is. And it actually goes, that's why I built this strategy guide. That's the free one on my website, because it's just an easier way to explain how to visually tell that story.
Yeah.
So it's probably not like a 2-minute answer, unfortunately, as you probably were working in social media, but telling me a little bit about your day or what food you like to eat, but in a visual way.
Yes.
So you might have your scissors. I know your audience is a lot of hairdressers. So say, for example, you've got your scissors in one hand, but like a donut in the other.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me aware of, you know, your quirks and what you like doing. And then I also learn the type of scissors you use. So it's pulling you into a story. Yes. Yeah. Or your business, because you might be, you know, you might have 5 characters in your salon.
Yep.
So you might want to tell stories about them, but it's not like I'm not talking like a headshot and said, hi, this is Christy and my superpower is putting mascara on without having to open my mouth. Like, it's kind of not a bio, it's a storytelling technique.
Yep. That's absolutely, that's fascinating, and I love that. That was a good example. So would you say that actually posting less and creating better?
Yes, 100%. 100%. I've had a lot of time to play with this.
Yes.
So, and obviously it's different for everyone, but for me personally, I post, my best strategy is once a day. Or maybe even some of the people that I'm talking to at the moment, because I have a big group of Instagrammers and we feedback a lot. So we're trying to run experiments and share so that we can all learn faster. So I have a little mastermind group that I'm a part of with some friends. And one of them said that the best engagement she gets is every 3 days. So it comes down to the engagement of the post. So if the better your post looks, the better the engagement, the more Instagram will share it. So it's, yes, at the moment, I would say at the moment, because the algorithms change, it's about quality.
Yeah. Okay. And really thinking about the story and the strategy and the why you're posting any given image, as well as your grid.
Exactly. So that's why planning exists. So once you've taken, you can go and do a photo shoot. It could just be on your phone. You can edit it with your, just your phone. Just, I often advise, try and take your photos in a really light, well-lit area. So those dark red, orangey photos don't work.
Yeah.
Over and over, they do not work. So I try and tell people, like, use editing apps, get used to using them, do them in bulk, upload them into plan, drag and drop, tell your story, and you're ready to go. So the plan gallery, most scheduling tools will actually block you up to about 20 or 30, but plan will let you do 120. So if you can tell, you can move and plan chunks of the story around.
Wow. Mm. And that, then it's a drag and drop, isn't it?
Yeah. Super easy.
Okay, that's fantastic food for thought, and obviously the best way to do that is to download Plan and organize your storytelling in your grid, but don't forget to go out and be social and engage.
Definitely. Have a few dad jokes up your sleeve.
All right. Well, look, as we work towards wrapping up, I would really love to hear if you have a quote or a mantra or anything that keeps you going. You know, it's hard work when you're the entrepreneur and the only one in your business, or the business owner who's trying to lead a team of people, you know, and you certainly have been through your fair share of ups and downs and challenges. So what kind of quote or mantra keeps you going?
Me personally,
yeah,
is I wouldn't wish boring on anyone.
I love that.
That's actually what I've lived by for a few years now. I don't love the idea of living a 9-to-5 job, and I know people can love it, but I couldn't fall in love with it. Yep. And I want to have an interesting life, and I want to do interesting things, and by doing that I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
And it's a constant reminder of, if you don't want a boring life, then go and do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's great. Do you know what one of mine is?
Why what is it?
Simply, why be boring? So I totally get that. I totally get that. It's like, let's not be boring. Let's just do something a little bit different and interesting.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Might steal it.
All right. What about, as part of your success formula, multiple things make that up, but what book or webinar or podcast do you listen to that you think that the hair and beauty salon owners should get amongst?
Is this, so it's specifically for being in marketing?
Anything. What's something that has moved you that you've listened to or read or that you can recommend to people?
I read a lot. I'm a speed reader. I read a book a lot. And I think the ones that I always recommend that people read at any stage of their business and reread is The Start With Why by Simon Sinek. So I'm a big believer in people will be a part of what you're doing and help you if you tell them why you want to do it. If I was making an app just to make money, it wouldn't work, because that's not what I'm doing. So if you're telling people why you're doing it, they get involved in the story and they want to support you. So that for me has been, you know, I reread that book often, because it's, I don't know if you've read it, Larissa, but it's about talking about the golden circle. And it, you know, instead of saying, I do this, you say, I want to do this and I'm doing it this way. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but and then the second book that I've really fallen in love with is a book called Traction. So everyone can get really overwhelmed with social media and marketing. And there's actually 24 at the moment, there's 24 different ways of marketing. So that's, you know, YouTube ads and AdWords and blah, blah, blah. It's like 24, and that's massive. So what Traction does is teaches you how to run experiments on each of those really quickly, so you can find out which one of those will work for you the best. Then just focus on those. So a lot of people go, I don't know where my people are. I'm like, well, test it.
Yeah.
Or ask them, we'll test it. So it's these really cool ways of working out your bullseye. That's what they call it, the bullseye. So working out like your top 3 or 5 and going, well, when I want traction, this is the button I push.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Right. That's on my next to read.
Might be a bit nerdy, but I'm a nerd.
Self-confessed. That's okay. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your journey and, of course, your tips.
with Salon Owners Collective. It's been awesome to have you. But we definitely need to know, where can we find you? Give us your dub-dubs.
My dub-dubs are Plan That with a double N. So planthat.com.
Yep.
And then my Instagram handle is the same, at Plan That. And those are the, and my Facebook page, actually, I put on quite a lot of bigger, long form content on my business Facebook page. So just Plan That again.
Yep.
Hopefully it stays like that for longer. I'm just, I was just chatting with Chris earlier that I've got some really fun trademarks. So
yes,
games to play. So fingers crossed that I don't have to rebrand, but that right now is where you can find me.
Fantastic. And iTunes, I assume you also Plan That.
Yes. And, so just Plan. So if you search for Plan Instagram with a double N,
okay.
Instagram scheduler, but the links are mostly on my website.
Yeah, so great.
Because it depends if you're Android or Apple. So the app's available for both.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much for giving up your time to us today.
No problem.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye, Christy.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time. We'll be right back.